Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Weekly Planet official podcast of Comic Book Movie. My name is James, Mr. Sunday, also. With me is my co-host, Mason. How are you, Mason?
I'm great, thank you.
Can I ask you a question, a personal question?
It's kind of a question already, isn't it? But all right.
How was your Valentine's Day?
It was good.
Did you Valentine's?
No, I was at work, so...
Were you shot with arrows?
I mean, yeah, that happened, yeah.
Okay, good.
I'm a target at an archery range. That is my job, so...
Fantastic.
That definitely happened,
that's good to hear.
Yeah. Did you Valentine?
Well, I got given a balloon, like a heart balloon,
uh-huh.
And it lifted my spirits, and I got home, and when I got out of the car, the heart balloon detached, and I watched it float away.
That's quite public.
And I laugh now, but yeah. It was really sad at the time.
Was it really sad at the time?
I was pretty, you know, I liked it. But then I went to a Claire Bowditch concert, and that was pretty good. So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day for everybody.
Except sad single people.
Yes, that's right. Are you one of those people who are against Valentine's Day? Or
no.
I think that,
because there's some people like, that's just an excuse to sell chocolate and cards and flowers and blah. Right, but if you believe that, just listen for the distant sound of somebody else going, it's just about finding, selling cards and... Except it's a girl voice. It's all just about selling cards and... chocolate! Right, and you find that person and that's your soulmate.
That's it.
So if anything, it's a filtering process.
That's a really good point.
Or you find somebody who's like, who loves that stuff. Or you find somebody who's like, hey, that's actually kind of dumb, but let's do it anyway because it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
It's easy.
I know, right? Yeah. You're right. It's a really good point.
Yeah.
I'm not against it or for it. Do what you want. I don't care. You know what does really amuse me though? When one person in a relationship is clearly into it, and it's usually the girl. I hate to generalize, but it usually is. And the guy's like, nah, we don't do Valentine's Day. I don't believe in it. It's for dickheads. And the girl's like, yeah, I don't mind because, you know, we still love each other or whatever. I mean, you can see them. They're really upset by it. So, yeah.
So what you're saying is you love it when people are really upset.
Yes.
Huh.
And their balloon floats away.
You're a bad person. I'm glad your balloon flew away.
All right. Now, Mason.
Yes.
What started off as a one-off kind of thing has become a recurring...
nightmare.
In this show.
Yeah, a recurring nightmare. Whatever you're talking about is a recurring nightmare.
You're right. It is the Shia LaBeouf news of the week.
Oh, yes.
We got away with not doing it last week.
I can't remember
silly,
if we did.
We did it. But Silly me thought, that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
yeah.
dead.
Uh-huh.
So, but turns out he's not.
But then he made an appearance at some sort of movie premiere with a bag on his head.
Well, that's it.
Well, basically, said, I'm not famous anymore.
Yeah. So that's how it started. So there was a press conference for his movie, Nymphomaniac Part 1.
Ooh.
Which, by the way, I've seen a clip for it where he does a British accent in it,
ugh.
And it is, I can't do accents,
right?
Even though a lot of people think I'm British for some reason, and then instead they call me a dumb British dickhead sometimes.
When in fact you are South African.
I know, so weird. And it's got to be the worst accent, British accent I've ever seen. But I think the director, I think it's Werner Herzog, mate.
It might be.
Okay, there you go. He put him in.
Wait, no, it's not.
You're probably.
It's not Werner Herzog.
It's someone else. Yeah, I can't remember who it is. Mm-hmm. But. Christian Slater's in it as well, and he uh-huh. also does a British accent.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's intentional.
It's all intentionally bad.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Anyway, I don't know. Anyway, the point is, he was at a press conference for that,
uh-huh.
and somebody said, what was it like to do all that sex, those sex scenes? And he made this comment before storming out. When seagulls follow the trawler, it is because they think sardines will be thrown into the sea, which is apparently stolen from some soccer player who did the same thing.
That's amazing.
But the thing is, though... at this point, he's doing it intentionally.
Yeah.
Initially, he wasn't stealing things intentionally. Or he was stealing them intentionally, but then, like, But, you know, and thinking he was going to get away with it. Now I think he is absolutely doing it on purpose to go, no, no, this is...
Right.
I've always been doing this ironically.
So at some point, we're all just supposed to believe that it's an art project.
Exactly.
Right, okay,
that's
yeah.
I think that's what he's trying to turn this out into. Because I looked up the clip, and the guy in the clip takes a sip of water at the exact same time that Shia LaBeouf did it. So it's all very... People are like, well, he stole it. Like, this one is clearly stolen on purpose.
Right, okay, yeah.
Like, a lot of his early stuff.
He's reappropriating work.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Lars von Trier.
That's it.
There we go,
good,
yeah.
Good look.
I knew it was foreign.
Something foreign.
Something from one of your South African mates.
What a British dickhead.
I know, right? Yeah, and we did get a couple of tweets on the subject.
So many tweets.
Said,
yeah.
Did we go to the Shia LaBeouf, I'm sorry, exhibit? We can't, because we're not in the US, but I feel if we can somehow convince Shia that somebody did it before him, somebody toured an art exhibition internationally before he did, he'll do it.
Oh, good point, yeah. That's not a bad idea. Mm. So the I'm not famous for the bag or the thing. He went to the film premiere with that bag on his head, looking like a total dickhead.
Yes.
Shockingly. And then this art exhibition, which he was threatening us with, he's actually come through with, and he sits in a room. People have lined up for 5 hours to go in and see this guy.
Uh-huh.
And he's sitting there and the bag's wet from his tears.
Ooh.
And if you go to Screen Junkies, they've got a YouTube channel. Hal Rudnick, I think the guy who does Screen Junkies. You know, they do the honest trailers,
those guys. Yeah.
And he pulled the bag off his head and there's like a 5 minute kind of awkward video where he just talks at Shia LaBeouf and kind of insults
and
him.
And it is Shia LaBeouf.
And it is Shia LaBeouf, okay. Yeah. And Shia LaBeouf is kind of bleary eyed and kind of crying the
but
whole time.
But you think maybe he'd do that on the day he knows the press is coming.
Yeah, like, I guess so.
Because they would get free tickets, presumably.
Mm.
So he'd know they were coming, and then he'd be like, well, this is media day. I'll be in the bag. But then every other day, it'll be somebody else in a bag.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I get you. Yeah. Well, and you know what, though? I think the tears are put on, because other people have gone in, and he's crying. I mean, not put on, but like, they're induced by something, some kind of external...
He pulled a nostril hair
out. Something like that. Exactly.
Yeah.
But you can't cry for 6 hours.
No.
Not if you're the best actor in the world, and newsflash... He is not the best actor in the world. Christian Slater is.
Yeah, see, there we go.
So, I don't know.
The very British Christian Slater.
The very
right?
British Christian Slater. I mean, I don't know, man. What?
Let's put another moratorium on Shia LaBeouf news. Let's do it right now.
I mean...
We can stick to it this time.
Can it get worse, though?
It can't.
It can't get... This must be it, right?
Yeah, because he can't, like, I'm going to kill myself or anything like that. He can't do that. Like, that's too far.
Yeah.
Because that will... Because that's a serious issue when he can't...
That's true, yeah.
...cross that line. I mean, he might try to do that.
Yeah.
But I think at this point, his manager or whatever is like, okay, here's the things you are going to do.
Oh, okay,
to make
getcha.
It seem as if you are a tortured artist.
Yeah. Mm. But yeah. Really, you're just rich.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
A dickhead.
Yeah.
Well, Mason, let's move it along.
Okay.
We are going to get to RoboCop 2014.
Ooh!
Which we've both seen at the movies.
The 2013 sequel
yes.
to the first RoboCop.
That's right.
There's somebody's been quietly making them in their basements.
We'll go through the movie news first.
Okay.
As we do every week, so I don't know why I'm announcing this, because we just do it. This is the format.
Obviously,
of the show.
You know what? Every podcast is somebody's first podcast.
That's true.
Mm.
Is this yours?
Yeah.
Good.
I've had an extra come in for all these other episodes.
Are you excited for the I Am Legend follow-up?
No, I didn't even know there was going to be.
Well, Mason,
an
there was,
follow-up.
But guess what?
What?
It's dead.
Oh, because Will Smith's out. But he was...
Well,
he was dead in the first
one. He died at the end of the first one. Right. Okay, there were a number of scenarios that were at play here.
Jaden Smith was
one of them. Yeah. No. Well, maybe. Mm. You never know.
Yeah.
Okay, so there were a number of scripts written. They were trying to get something made. We're talking about prequels and sequels.
Yep.
In a world of prequels and sequels, it's surprising that none of these happened. One of the prequels would be show the breakout at a Thanksgiving Day parade.
Okay, sure.
But they sort of did that in World War Z.
Yeah,
that's a busy street, and then the zombies run through or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also,
but in this the Thanksgiving Day parade would have all the balloons.
Has got all the balloons.
Does
yeah. That's it. And also, they did Thanksgiving Day parade in Spider-Man 1.
Oh yeah.
Mm. 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 The other one had a Dark Seeker elephant that escaped from the zoo.
I would watch that.
Dark Seeker elephants are what they called the vampires in it.
Okay,
for some reason, they changed them to Dark Seekers from the book. But which is a weird choice.
Yeah.
You want to see a CGI elephant stomping about?
Yeah, if it's undead.
Haven't you seen Jumanji?
There was no undead elephants in that.
Weren't they all magical?
Yeah, but it's not the same.
I'm gonna say something about Jumanji right now.
Okay.
Zathura, the spiritual sequel to Jumanji, is better than Jumanji.
Wow.
What do you
think about
that?
That's a Jon Favreau joint.
It is a Jon Favreau joint, yeah. I only watched that recently and I went, this is pretty fucking good.
Is it a kids film?
It's a kids film, okay. Yeah. It's about kids being trapped in space. So yeah, and the other one was a sequel. Which would again star Will Smith. Guess how they got around it? The planning to get around it.
Clone?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
That can't be
so
right.
No, this is true. So it's either, I'm assuming it would have been either the original him and the first one was a clone, or the new one is a clone. Maybe none of this matters.
It really doesn't, because it's all dead in the water.
It's all dead in the water. Interesting fact, though. Not really interesting. Fact, though, in that movie, there's a bit where you can see a Superman-Batman poster in Times Square.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. Everyone lost their minds.
What date did they have on that? Was there a date for it?
I think it was like 2012, from memory. I might be wrong.
Good luck. Good luck getting it out on 2012. It's pretty coming up pretty soon.
Speaking of dead properties, yes. Mason, you know Akira. Have you seen the original Akira?
Yes, many times.
I've never seen it. You're a big fan.
It's good, yeah.
You'd be happy to know the live-action, westernized
with
remake.
With Zac Efron?
There was a few names floated around, but it's back on.
Okay, good.
And Zac Efron, I think, was rumored at one point. Kristen Stewart was attached.
Uh-huh.
There's some concept art came out recently with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Chris Evans. Outfits
right.
As Kaneda and what's the other one?
Tetsuo.
Quasimodo. Yep, I remember. I've seen all mangas.
Yep.
And basically, yeah, the director of, have you seen Unknown with Liam Neeson? Where he's like, where's my wife? Where is she?
I've seen a film that is like that. I think it's every Liam Neeson film.
After
of the last. Of
Taken.
The last, yeah, exactly, yeah. There's another one coming out soon called Nonstop.
Yeah, where same director.
Great.
Same director. He also did Orphan, where the family adopt the orphan girl, and it turns out she's like a 35-year-old dwarf.
Yeah, she's a killer dwarf.
Haven't seen it.
Apparently these Liam Neeson and all these Jason Statham vehicles,
yeah.
Like they're very popular in Europe.
Yeah, they love them.
So that's where all the funding comes from. So there's just this endless string of Liam Neeson wanting his family back. I don't know what the plot is of Nonstop, but he has
to stop the plane or not stop the plane.
But the plane's Nonstop, so 50-50, his problem's already solved. This plane can't stop! It's already stopped, Liam.
Good!
Good! Put my gun away, then!
So anyway, the director who, his first name's spelled J-A-U-M-E. It's...
Jaume?
Probably like that.
Jaume?
Called Sarah.
Yeah.
I can't pronounce anyone's name.
Gal Gadot.
His version is going to be true to the original, he says. True to the spirit of the original. Are you happy with that?
What does that even mean, though?
Well, you also said he was
hoping... Because, as you may or may not know, people in Hollywood are sometimes idiots.
Mostly idiots. He's up.
Sorry.
But he also said that...
So that might mean that there's like a vending machine in one of the scenes, and that's an exact replica of the vending machine in the original, yeah. And everything else is different.
Keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah.
Well, he said he's hoping to bring characters to his version, because he said...
What does that mean?
Well, let me explain. And you seem real angry.
I'm so angry. I'm not angry.
He
really.
Said in the original one, nobody's interesting. Do you want me to read the whole thing?
And okay, then go ahead. Sure.
Tetsuo, is that his name?
Yes.
Tetsuo is interesting because weird shit happens to him, and Kaneda is so two-dimensional. That's a part of Japanese culture. They never have strong characters.
Wow. That's probably going to maybe put a crimp in production of it. And it's going to... Because there are a lot of people who... There's a lot of Japanophiles out there who love everything anime and everything Japanese.
Sure.
And if you say their characters aren't strong...
Yeah.
Like, they're...
That's a big generalization,
yeah, exactly,
isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah. And it's entirely possible that he's missing out on a lot of nuance there.
Yeah.
Like, in the characters.
That's it.
But also, it's like 2 hours long. How much character do you want?
Well, that's true, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think he's burning a lot of bridges by saying that.
I don't think he's... I mean, he's not a bad director, I don't think. Unknown's not great. Haven't seen the midget one. Mm-hmm. Haven't seen the plain one.
That's a midget.
Sorry. Haven't seen the
little
dwarf,
person.
The dwarf one. Can you not say? Oh yeah, you can't say that, can
can't
you?
Say that.
Okay.
Yep.
Maybe I'll cut that out.
Nah, it's fine. Lilliputian.
Okay.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Now that's insulting.
Oh, okay. Wow.
From the land of Lilliput, from Gulliver's Travels.
Right. Gotcha. Okay. But he doesn't seem like the right director for this.
No.
He's only kind of done smaller affairs.
Mm.
Like Unknown is traipsing across Europe.
Uh-huh.
The plain one's just on a plane.
He slept with Liam Neeson's wife.
He slept with.
It was a small affair.
I just think it seems like something with a lot of scope.
Because she's a little person. Sorry?
Yeah, it seems like something with a lot of scope. I mean, you've got this huge, expansive city. And, you know, it's something more kind of akin to Blade Runner. So you need someone who can kind of handle that.
But speaking of Favreau and Zathura.
Yes.
At some point, he had to make the jump from, like, Swingers and Maid to Zathura.
Yeah.
Like, there's a huge jump there.
Sure.
But I guess you get sent to some sort of director boot camp.
Okay.
They
said you up like this is the cinema photographer who's worked on this.
Yeah. So maybe I don't know. I don't have any faith in it. I'll give you that. But there's certainly a possibility that this could work.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sure. I mean, the studios don't set him up to fail, do they?
Well,
and getting
he did sleep with Liam Neeson's wife.
That's true. And they got they would have got him cheaper than you know, a lot of directors. So if they were to get, I don't know, for example, Spielberg,
right?
Who wouldn't do this? I'm assuming. Then that's going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
Or even Jon Favreau of Zathura.
Yeah.
And Maid.
Mm.
And
that's it.
All right, let's move it along, Mason.
Yep.
I have news on the Gotham TV series.
Here we go.
There's a bunch of casting news.
Any mustache news?
I want to get to that, Mason.
Okay, good. We'll get
to
that.
I want to talk about it.
I think I know what you're talking about. Oh, yeah. We'll get to that.
We talked about it after the show last week.
Yep.
Robin Taylor, mm-hmm. he's an actor. He was in Another Earth, the movie. Where there was Another Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And The Walking Dead, I think, for an episode. He's been cast as Oswald Cobblepot.
Ooh.
A low-level psychopath for the gangster Fish Mooney.
There you go.
I saw his face. He looks like a little kind of Weasley guy.
Looks penguin-y?
Yeah, okay. Enough. He's not a, like a roly-poly guy, but, you know, he's younger.
Yeah, the roly-poliness will come later.
Sure.
And I guess
like
if
with all of us.
Yeah, and if you... Yes. If you're gonna have it set at the start of, you know, pre-Batman, pre-all that,
yeah.
You can't have everybody...
Looking...
Caricature-y like that, because it's going to get... It's only going to get...
Wah!
Yeah, exactly. Kind of yeah, yeah,
start. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Maybe he'd be really subtle about it, like, wah.
Yeah.
Wah. You've lost again, Cobblepot, back to jail with you. Wah. Throws up his hands in defeat. Wah.
Zabrina Guevara from Marley and Me and Burn Notice, our favourite show, Burn Notice.
Uh-huh.
Do you watch Burn? We've watched a bit of Burn Notice.
I watched the first season.
He's always infiltrating a gang.
Yep.
And he's setting up a deal, but maybe the deal is going to go south.
Yeah.
But he's got a guy waiting for him with a sniper rifle.
Yeah, exactly. But then maybe he'll put on like a wife beater, and he'll be from New York. He'll put on an accent, you know?
And they don't know
what's up or down. What's black or white? Who's to say?
And he's always got that voiceover before he infiltrates a gang. He's like, when you're infiltrating a crime syndicate, the Japanese triads.
The first thing to do is put on a wife beater. And you're like, is this going to come in handy at any point?
And then his sexy ex-girlfriend turns up and maybe seduces somebody.
Yep.
And then Bruce Campbell drives the van
and everybody's
whatever.
Like, yeah, Bruce Campbell! Whoa! Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We've watched a lot of that.
We certainly
evidently.
Have. Apparently so, yeah.
We've,
you know, Bruce Campbell, he confirmed, he's like, hey, listen, we're going to do another Evil Dead movie. I'm going to cross it over with the reboot.
Okay.
And everyone's like, yes! Bruce Campbell's back. It's going to be amazing. And
you're
then
doing the devil horns.
Yeah, I was doing the devil horns. And then a week later, he comes out and he goes, come on, guys. You shouldn't just believe things that people say on the internet. Everyone's like, you said that.
Yeah.
You said it a week ago.
You're the executive producer of all these things.
It came from
your
mouth.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, that's mean.
Yeah, I don't know what the state of that is.
Yeah.
But basically, yeah. So, sorry. She, the person we were talking about, she's Gordon's boss in the Homicide Squad. She balances politics with police work.
Oh.
Don't you think that's great?
It's pretty great.
I've never heard of either of those first two, by the way.
No.
Mm. Next one, Erin Richards from Open Grave, another person I haven't heard of. She's Barbara Keene, emergency doctor, and Gordon's wife, who stands by him. Even though in the comic, he cheats on her.
That's boys. And how. Yep.
Donald Logue.
Yeah, okay.
Sons of Anarchy, Vikings. Great guy.
Terriers.
Terriers? I haven't seen Terriers, no.
Terriers, he's like a... He's
a
like
dog.
It's an animated dog show. Yeah. They get into all sorts of hijinks. No, it's like he's one of a couple of down and out kind of private detectives.
Okay.
And it only went for a season.
Yeah.
But it's really good. All it's right. like it's a dramedy kind of thing. I mean, there's like funny moments and like poignant moments.
Poignant
moments, and there's kind of, you know, really tense moments and stuff, but it's a really well written show. And it's a shame it only went for a season.
Ah.
Also, he's in Blade and he gets his head shoved into the side of the train. Remember that?
I don't remember that, no.
He's Deacon Frost's second in command.
Ah.
And Blade pushes his head against the speeding express train.
Yeah.
And it burns all his face off.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that.
Okay, there you go.
Stephen Dorff does an amazing South African accent in The Power of One.
Because he's South African.
Yes, he is.
Anyway, Donald Logue's going to be in it.
He's going to be Harvey Bullock.
Okay, that works.
That's good.
That
I like
totally
that a
works.
Lot.
Yeah. Also, he's in Grounded for Life.
Oh, I like Grounded for Life.
Really?
Yes!
That was good.
I mean, for the time.
Yeah, okay. Fair
like
enough.
Now, you couldn't really bring that out now, but that guy in particular, that's not a great show, sure, but he is really good and funny.
Yeah.
The description is rough around the edges partner and mentor of Jim Gordon.
Huh.
I read a comic recently, I think it was Batman Earth 1, you know, those kind of reboots they
did. Uh-huh.
I think it was that one. And Harvey Bullock in it is like this, I think he's like an LA kind of TV cop, and he comes to Gotham to make his name, and he's all trim and handsome
like
and smooth talking. But then he meets this serial killer and like breaks him down.
Oh,
and at the end, he's like a hard drinking kind of thing. Okay. It's not a great comic.
Yeah.
It changes a lot of the origins. It's as good as a kind of one-off thing.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's okay.
Oh, okay.
Next one. Sean Pertwee. You familiar with him? He's from Dog Soldiers. Remember Dog Soldiers?
Yeah, the werewolf.
Yeah. Dog Soldiers, if anybody hasn't seen it, it's a low-budget werewolf English film. Came out in like 2002. Uh-huh. And it's basically werewolves attacking a house, a cottage.
That's
and there
right.
are soldiers in it. And
for
it's great.
Hours.
He's also in Elementary. John, I'm going to give you a second while you have a look at his face.
Yeah.
As soon as you see him, you'll know exactly
who
he is.
Yeah, I will, because I recognize the name, but... Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He's Alfred.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Ex-Marine Alfred.
Yep.
Tough as nails.
Once he put on the classic Gotham mustache, he's going to look.
And
he looks a little like Richard Roxburgh.
Yeah, I'd pay that.
Okay.
By the way, people, if you haven't seen Rake, not the American remake, which I have not seen, the Australian version of Rake with Richard Roxburgh, who was the vampire in Van Helsing.
And probably some vampires and other stuff.
He was the bad guy in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Great actor.
Yep.
Those are terrible movies.
Yep.
That's a really good show. Watch Rake. It's the only Australian show worth watching.
Yeah, I think that's being released in America.
No, right? It is.
On something or other.
Oh, like, no, there's a new American version with, what's his name? I always bring him up.
Brandon Routh.
No, he's in bloody...
Shia LaBeouf.
No, Greg Kinnear.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, Greg Kinnear's Rake.
Might be worth it.
I might check it out, yeah. So that's the new cast, Mason. That's pretty strong from what I can see here.
Mm.
Also, they're looking for a young Bruce Wayne at the moment.
Oh, so one of us then.
Yes.
Right, I'll race you to the casting couch, because that's how it happens.
The thing about the young Bruce Wayne is you have to be very careful for a number of reasons.
Mm.
It's hard, kid actors...
When you say young, like a kid actor.
Like 12 to 14. Yeah. Kid actors, first of all, it's hard to find a good one.
Right.
As we've established over the years. It's even harder to find a good one who won't grow into a monster.
Right, exactly, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's
both physically and emotionally.
Yes.
Slash drug-wise.
Slash Shia LaBeouf.
Slash, for some reason, only does, like, songs about pizza. Macaulay Culkin just recently, he started a band.
Oh, right, yeah.
And he does, like...
There's a four-minute video of him just eating pizza as well.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And he looks really...
Great.
Unhealthy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, for example, though, but it can go the other way. Most actors start off not looking so great, then grow into themselves.
Uh-huh.
For example, you know, the Nicholas Holt?
Yeah, About a Boy.
About a Boy. Yeah, yep. That guy's got, I mean, the bowl haircut doesn't help that guy.
Uh-huh.
But then he turned up and he's like this super handsome dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Same with Neville Longbottom. Have you seen that guy now?
Handsome dude.
So handsome.
There you go.
Looks like Superman.
Wow. Okay.
He got his teeth fixed or whatever. He looks amazing.
Right.
He's easily the best looking. He came out the best out of that.
Even Emma Watson?
Nah, sorry. Second best.
There we go. Thank you.
Because Daniel Radcliffe didn't grow past 12. He's not a bad looking bloke by any stretch, Mason. Let's just rate all the Harry Potter cast from best to worst.
No, let's rate him from
best
looking to ugliest. There's only the two options.
Original
Dumbledore. Ugly.
Original Dumbledore. Handsome. Mm. Second Dumbledore. Poor choice of casting, I thought. Anyway,
it's called The Pizza Underground, and they just do Velvet Underground covers the lyrics have been cleverly twisted, so they're about pizza.
I guess you got a lot of money, you can just do whatever you want.
Does he have a lot of money?
Well, maybe. He's got that Home Alone suite cash.
Oh, yeah.
And the Richie Rich money.
Mm, yeah,
presumably
exactly.
If his parents didn't spend
it
all.
Yeah, I heard they let him keep all the money from Richie Rich. Just all the money that was
and
set.
The McDonald's?
Yeah.
Okay, Mason, but I... You know, every week I'm like, hey, rate us on Twitter or whatever. Not Twitter, on iTunes. How it's been my
campaign.
Some
might say you have an obsession.
Some might say that, Mason. That obsession ends today.
Really?
Sure. Rate us on iTunes or whatever. I guess we should get featured at some point. It would be nice.
Uh-huh.
Or not. It doesn't matter, Mason, because I've got a new vendetta.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Is this Gotham-based?
It's Gotham-based.
Okay.
I reached out to Benjamin McKenzie, who's playing Detective Gordon, Jim Gordon. And I said, hey, McKenzie, first of all, well done. Are you going to have a mustache? No reply. I've only got like 500-something Twitter followers. He's not going to reply to me. He's got 100,000 followers. So, I want everybody to tweet at Benjamin McKenzie and harass him.
Is it at Benjamin McKenzie? Or
it is. I've got it written here. Just give me a second. It is at Ben_McKenzie. McKenzie. And I want people to say this or a variation of this. At Benjamin McKenzie, will you grow a mustache for Gotham? # McKenzie mustache.
Now, I would like to say there, he can probably weasel his way out of that.
How?
As you said, are you going to grow a mustache? He might not grow a mustache, but he might have a mustache.
Good point.
Yeah.
I'm going to change it. At Ben_McKenzie. Will you have a mustache for Gotham?
Mm.
# McKenzie mustache.
There we go.
And
yes.
At Mr. Sunday Movies in it.
Yeah.
In me in it. So
fantastic.
Because I want to see it. I want to see his response. I want to get as many of those as we can because I want to know, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who wants to know.
I definitely want to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to know details.
Because we're not going to know for like 2 years.
Yeah, exactly.
We want to know every detail,
yeah.
Mason.
Yeah.
So please, @Benjamin_McKenzie, will you have a mustache for Gotham? #MackenzieMustache.
Thank you.
@MrSunday.
Because when I started watching Arrow,
yeah,
it would have been a lot easier for me had I known, is Deathstroke going to grow the goatee or not?
Yeah.
He has. Spoiler alert, he has. But it was touch and go.
It was
for
very
year.
Touch and go.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah. So there you go. Mm. Please do that as well, everybody. Yeah. Mm. Please?
I'm going to do it.
I know. Are you?
Yeah.
Good, because you never do anything to support the show, so I appreciate that. So, basically, John Wesley Shipp, you know who he is?
He is Old Flash?
He's Old Flash.
Yeah.
It was also Dawson's dad.
Yeah.
He's going to appear in the Flash pilot.
Oh,
the new Flash pilot, in an unspecified role.
The Flash?
Yes, he'll be the Flash.
He boards up the set, he's got a gun. And a bomb, and he won't leave until he's the new Barry Allen again.
He'll be, if the show's picked up, he'll be expanded into...
a balloon.
Yes.
A Thanksgiving Day balloon.
And he'll be in the rest of the show.
Oh,
I
wonder what Garrick... Maybe he'll be Jay Garrick. Original Flash.
Okay, yeah. That's not...
Wait, that won't make any sense though, will it?
Why not?
Because there weren't any super-powered superheroes before that?
Yeah, I guess so.
Who cares?
Doesn't matter!
He could just be a guy sitting on a stoop and his name's Jay Garrick.
Yeah.
And they called him, you know what, and they called him The Flash because he was like a high school track star or something.
Oh, good
That'd
idea.
That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it?
And people still call him that?
Yeah.
Even though he's 59? Hey, yeah. I looked up his age, he's 59.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Seemed like a nice guy. Yeah. Good chiseled head.
Very chiseled head.
Now, Mason, there is a spot. You know when we talked about Captain Planet last week?
Yes.
And we berated it for being the worst show ever made?
Yes.
And we said, or I think you specifically said, they couldn't make it because it's too green.
Right, and they'd have to carbon neutral the whole set.
Exactly. Yeah. Interestingly, Mason, this is kind of related. There's the Amazing Spider-Man 2 featurette out this week, where it's all about being green and how they've made it one of the greenest movies of all time.
Ooh.
Recycling everything and using all sorts of recycled sets and materials. Just recycle.
Yes.
It's not
what
really
a great idea, guys.
It's not really news.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was interesting. I hope that doesn't mean we're going to get a Captain Planet movie, though. I hope you haven't said something.
Oh, and I've kicked something off, haven't
I? Something, yeah.
God. Well, you know what? We've got to take the good with the bad. I mean, you don't want there to be a Captain Planet movie, but you want Ben McKenzie to reveal whether he's got a mustache or not. So, you
#Hashtag McKenzie mustache.
We've got ultimate power here, so
that's right.
We've got to use it wisely.
Yeah. Mm. I might ask the boss of comic movie, Jim Little, if I can put an article up about this and get everybody...
On mustache watch.
To harass
him. Sure, yeah, please.
Yeah. He seems like a nice guy. I don't want to use the word harass, but at the same time, let's all harass this
sexually
guy.
Sexually harass. Yes. You mean sexually harass. Okay.
I do. Captain America, the Winter Soldier news, Mason. Okay. You excited for that one coming
out? Yes, very much
so. It's
going
to be great. Now, the new costume, there's a bit of information about this week.
I do love costumes.
Don't you?
Mm.
The new costume is faithful to the Ed Brubaker's work. That's why it's the way it is, Mason.
Mm.
This is all costume related. And the idea is to make it more grounded. And so there's a distinction between the S.H.I.E.L.D. Captain America, who works for S.H.I.E.L.D.,
yep.
And he's stealthing about, and the Captain America, because there are two distinct kind of roles there, isn't there?
Boy, is there.
So there's the costume change, that's why it's happening.
Huh.
But also, I think the old costume's in it as well, because we've seen it in the trailers.
I do love costumes.
The World
though.
War II one.
I hate it, heaps good.
Also, Anthony Mackie, you know him, he plays Falcon.
Oh, yeah.
The Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Falcon or the Falcon? Or the Millennium Falcon?
Millennium Dome, I think.
Okay, good.
It's called the Millennium Dome.
Anthony Mackie is playing Millennium Dome. He said he's been calling Marvel every Monday, for a role in the Avengers 2. Just harassing him. Benjamin McKenzie
style.
That
doesn't work with people, though.
No, it doesn't.
Remember the guy in The Matrix?
Yes.
Tank?
Tank!
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was all like, put me in the sequels or whatever.
I'll kill you!
Yeah, and then they just
he used to turn
out.
Up at set.
Yeah,
on the
and
set,
then they were just like, oh, he died.
Also, you know, what's her name? The woman from Blade Runner, who's notoriously crazy. The main woman from Blade Runner.
Yeah,
she was originally in the first Batman. I can't remember.
He's one of those
Rachel
moments,
or something?
He's no, one of the moments. No, that's the character's name.
Yeah.
He's one of the moments where people are shouting at us.
Yes.
Sean Young.
Sean Young.
Wait. Sean Astin? No, that's guy from The Hobbit.
I think it's Sean Young. If it's not, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
Mackenzie Mustache. Mm. But she was cast in the original Batman, I think, and then broke her leg and couldn't do it. And she was insistent that she played Catwoman the next one, so she kept showing up at Tim Burton's place in a Catwoman costume.
Okay, that's... Okay.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Is that allegedly, or did that happen?
That happened.
Hmm.
For reals.
Huh.
Yeah.
I love it.
Some people go crazy, Mason.
Yeah.
Some people don't.
Mm.
Guardians of the Galaxy, I just want to talk about this briefly.
Okay, I'm ready.
The trailer's out this week.
Oh, the real trailer. For the first time ever, an actual real trailer.
Yes, that hasn't been shown at Comic-Con or released.
Or released on footage. Russian servers, so they can't be shut down.
Exactly, yeah. It's out Tuesday the 18th. So when this comes out, if you're listening to this on the Tuesday...
I will be.
Go and see it, Mason.
The trailer.
Yes.
On the internet.
comicbookmovies.com.
Yeah.
Or don't. any website is fine. Yeah. But, you know, support the website.
Mm.
They only get 30 million views a month, so I think this
that's
little
not
bit
the population of the earth. We need more hits.
Yeah, so yeah, I just think that's interesting. We'll talk about that next week, but I'm super excited for that.
Me too.
Good. Both of us are. Matt Mason, Batman vs. Superman news. I know it contradicts the old no Charlotte Booth and Batman vs. Superman news.
That's fine. We split them up, though.
We have, haven't we? I put a big gap in here. Zack Snyder confirmed that it is, again, it's not really news this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Let's get through it quickly. Let's burn through this, yeah?
Okay, good, yeah.
Just burn through it.
Please.
He's confirmed that, again, that it's not a direct adaptation of The Dark Knight Returns, but that book will influence it.
Yeah.
We know that, right?
We do know that, yeah.
And also, they just, that shouldn't be the influencing book.
No, not at all. Because it's the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Batman will be an older and more advised man than Superman, but will retain that Bruce Wayne charm.
Mm.
So what do you think of that?
I like Bruce Wayne charm.
I like Bruce Wayne charm too.
Yeah.
I think Christian Bale did a pretty good Bruce Wayne. Especially in the first one where he pretends to be like a drunk. And he does it more in the first and the second one. Third one, he's a weird recluse.
Yeah.
But yeah. I like the bit in the first one where he pretends to be drunk and he gets someone out of his house. He's like, beat it, freeloaders.
Yeah.
I hate you all.
Mm.
That's great. So yeah, there you go.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But Mason,
yes,
I've been dying to hear your thoughts this week.
Yes.
On RoboCop 2014.
Oh.
It's been out in the US.
We've got to the meat of the matter.
That's it.
Mm.
It's, it only just came out in the US.
Uh-huh.
Came out here a couple of weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Fans are divided, Mason.
Yes.
Critics are divided. Mm. It's sitting on about 50% at Rotten Tomatoes at the moment.
Uh-huh.
Is it the worst use of the RoboCop properties?
Boy, is it not. It is not that at all. No.
Okay. Is it a justified remake?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Because
yeah.
We did say, what was it, or you said in particular a few weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
That is a dead horse.
Boy, yes. Was that last week?
I think it was week before.
Because, and a lot of people, and I spoke to about somebody in real life about this the other day.
Yeah.
That a lot of people just have memories of RoboCop. They don't even remember either of the sequels.
Yeah.
They sort of have a vague recollection that there was a RoboCop 2.
Yeah.
Like no recollection of 3.
Yeah.
Nobody knows at all. Nobody at all knows that there was a TV series, 2 cartoons, TV movies,
yeah,
all that sort of stuff.
Japanese
it's been
commercials.
On a downward, yeah, Japanese commercials for
chicken.
Chicken, yeah. Nobody knows it's been on a downward spiral for years and years.
Yeah.
There's no way to go but up.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Now, it's obviously not better than the first, right?
Well.
Oh my goodness!
Okay, here's the thing. Before we get started, we're going to spoil this, right?
Yes.
We're going to spoil the hell out of
this. This is out Tuesday or Monday yesterday.
People should have seen it.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, spoilers. If you have seen it.
Double spoilers.
Double spoilers.
Yeah.
I thought maybe we could talk about the good, then the bad.
Yeah, okay, we can do that.
So, yeah. Do you want to kick it off with the good?
Yes. Wait. Yes. Okay, first of all, it's not the same movie.
No.
Like, we've all seen it, it's not the same movie. I don't think we can expect the same movie.
No.
Like, my favourite scene, well, one of my many favourite, every scene in the first one was my favourite scene in the first RoboCop, but the scene right at the start where they're testing out Ed 209 in the boardroom.
Yeah.
And it kills the junior executive. It's hilarious. But at the same time, that's nowhere close to being the real world.
Like, yeah.
Imagine the gross incompetence it would take for that situation to happen. Like, it'd have to be like, okay, so we're going to bring the giant gun-toting robot into the boardroom where all the executives are. Should we put live ammunition in the guns? Yes, we should. Okay, should we have, like, an enormous red button where you push it and it kills the power to the robot? No, let's not do that. But it'd take, like, 10 minutes to wire it in. No, let's not do that. Let's leave it. And, like, they would have to have done simulations and all and just, you know, it's not a real...
No, it's not a real scenario,
This is RoboCop in the quote-unquote real world.
Yeah.
Like, it is...
The first one's obviously a satire.
Yeah.
And this is not as much.
There are themes and issues, and it is satirical in its own way, but it's not.
Yeah.
There's nobody getting their dick shot off.
No. Well, the issue here, I guess, well, one of the main issues is it's more about the concerns of automated warfare.
Yeah.
And the implications of that more so than big business. Well, there's a little bit of that, but there's a few other themes kind of running.
I know you want to do the good things and then the bad things.
Yeah.
What I'm probably going to do is just have an assortment of random thoughts and just say them. So, you know what I'm not on board with? I don't think the RoboCop theme works with this.
Okay.
The new version.
Did it play that much in it, though?
Not really, just at the opening theme, and they kind of tried to techno-ed it up a little bit, but I don't think it really works with...
Do you mean, what if they had got the actual proper theme and just used that throughout it? Would you prefer that? Or just think, don't use the theme?
In small doses, it probably would have worked the original, yeah. Okay, the good. CGI is spectacular.
Absolutely.
Like, at no point was I like, oh, that's...
The suit on set looked a little weird and rubbery.
Uh-huh.
But when you see it, there's clearly been touch-ups to it.
Yeah.
Like the way his legs...
Uh-huh.
There's like that weird kind of gap between his legs, which a human wouldn't have, which they've clearly done.
Uh-huh.
And little things like when his kid runs his hand down his dad's leg and hear like the metal over the
hand. Yeah.
Like little things like that,
uh-huh.
it gives it the sense that it does have weight. It's not this rubbery suit that he's bouncing around
in. Right,
he's heavy. Yeah. He's like a tank.
Let's talk about it, because my biggest concern... about RoboCop was who's going to be RoboCop.
Sure.
How it's going to look.
Yeah.
Because nobody's gotten the RoboCop walk right.
Yeah.
Nobody's gotten the movement right.
Yeah.
He's always looked weird and puffy and kind of just... Everybody after Peter Weller just looked like this stuffed sausage in this, tin can. But I think they've gotten... Like, when you first see Murphy...
Yeah.
He's kind of tall and rangy.
Yeah.
And you look at that and go, okay, he's gonna work well in this.
He could pinch fit.
I thought it was interesting. Lewis is not Ann Lewis anymore.
Oh right,
Lewis is Kenneth Williams from The Wire.
I mean, he's good.
He is good.
That was a strange choice. Yeah,
characterization I really enjoyed.
Yep.
I thought, and again, it's not these cackling, insane, money grubbing lunatics. Like in the first couple of RoboCops.
Yeah.
You know, people have genuine motivations. Like. Michael Keaton is the CEO.
Mm. He's great.
He's great, and he's a bad guy, clearly.
Yeah.
But I often think that in fiction, the best villains have a point.
Yeah.
Like, and he wants his profit margin. He wants his, you know, billions of dollars that he's going to get from the US market because of drones.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he does genuinely believe that getting cops off the street and replacing them with, you know, cyborgs or military hardware is going to save thousands of
so many lives. Yeah.
And he's right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, people are going to lose their jobs, but that's...
You know, no, you're right. He is right.
He believes in what he does to some level, which is... He's probably a psychopath because he's the CEO of a company, but... Yeah. You know, he believes in that. And similarly with Gary Oldman.
Mm.
You know, he is a guy who has to do some bad things over the course of the film.
Yeah.
He has to, you know, remove some of Murphy's humanity in order to make him an effective police officer. But he needs to do that because he needs to prove that this product works.
Yeah.
So he can retain funding for his...
For his prosthetics. Work. Yeah, absolutely right. His character arc, I thought, was really, really interesting. Because you can see, and it only happens bit by bit. He's not like, now I'm evil.
Right.
Like, you can see, like, every time he has to push it that little bit further.
Right, exactly.
Like, it gets to the point where he's like, he's not as fast as a drone. Let's make Robocop think that he's doing all these
things. And he still feels like a human being.
That's right.
So he's like, well, I'm not doing such a bad thing. Because when he's not in combat mode, he still feels like a human being.
I like that line about the visor comes down and it takes over or whatever. And then it gets to the point where it's like, he has to change him to the Robocop we kind of know from the original, because he has this complete fucking freak out
when he
gets uploaded to the system or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then he becomes all automated and whatever. But I love the scenes with Gary Oldman and Michael Keaton.
Yes.
Let's say some of the best in the movie by far. Michael Keaton, I can't understand why he dropped off the map for so long.
Yeah.
Because he's so good.
Yeah. Well, apparently he was offered like $50 million for like Batman 3.
Oh, yeah?
And he was like, I don't want to be tired. I think maybe he burned some bridges in that regard. I don't know. Because he was the biggest movie star in the world, I guess, for you know, a few years there.
And that's it.
I don't know. But yeah, he keeps getting better. Yeah. Enjoy him and everything.
Me too.
Yeah.
You know what I did like about the new Robocop as well? I know there wasn't a lot of blood and gore, which I would have liked to see. I can understand why it wasn't, whatever.
Uh-huh.
But I found it really horrific when Murphy goes, look, I want to see what's left of me.
Yes,
horrifying.
That is, yeah, I found that very confronting.
Pull his legs off, and you're like, okay, he doesn't have legs.
Yeah.
Pull his arms off, and you're like, he's just a hand.
And it's not even connected. It's not even an arm. They've removed everything except the hand.
It's just the hand.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they pull the chest away, and he's just a sack of organs,
yeah.
an esophagus, a face, and a brain.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's horrifying.
And it's not even his entire brain.
No, there's bits missing. I was like, that was like, wow.
It's really confronting, and also, it's dwelled on for a really long time. Yeah. Like, he's not there for like 30 seconds, he's like, put me back together! It's a good 5, 6, 7 minute scene of just, ugh.
And it's really like, I found it really claustrophobic as well, because imagine you're this head.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't move, you're a face.
You can't even scratch an itch.
No.
Which I'm doing right now. Maybe you can hear that on the mic. There it is.
I found that, really... great.
That was one of my points, but I thought that was really good, and it looks... Like, it doesn't look ridiculous.
No.
Like, I'm sure if we'd made this a couple of years ago, people would have laughed in the
cinema,
but there's no... In fact, probably a worse director or a worse cinematographer, if you'd done that reveal, people would have laughed, like, hey, look at this guy,
look
whatever,
at that,
but it's horrific. You go like, ooh. People gasp in the cinema.
Yeah, it's the slow reveal. It's not just click, here he is. It was slowly pulling apart. Crazy. But they also humanized him in the sense, or kind of made him more vulnerable in the sense. You see the bit where they're kind of siphoning his blood
and then
putting vitamins and whatever into it.
There's no more baby food situation.
No.
Just have to nibble on a little container of baby food in this one.
Yeah. Mm. So I thought that was really cool. How like you can't just send him out there. He's got to come back for maintenance. He's like a robot. You know.
And again, the first one was very much an over the top satire. Nobody dies an ironic death in this one.
Okay.
Because as when in the first movie, Robocop's Directive 4 prevents him from killing anyone who works for OCP.
Yeah.
In this one,
it's a red wristband.
Red asset wristband, which presumably projects some sort of radio frequency that prevents Robocop from killing anyone who works for OCP who's wearing it. At no point does anyone lose their wristband in a funny way. Because at the end, Jackie O'Haley is about to kill Robocop.
Yeah.
And then and Robocop can't kill him because he's got the red asset wristband on.
You mean Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah, that's right, man. Haley Joel Osment. Former child actor, Haley Joel Osment. And he isn't running in to kill Robocop, and he catches his wristband on an exposed pipe, and he's like, oh no, now I'm done for.
Yeah.
Like, it's a, which would have happened in the 80s.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen in this, because nobody would do that.
No.
And it's also, nobody's like, you know, oh, you know, somebody finds a nice watch on a corpse and puts it on in replace, you know, takes the wristband off, like some criminal takes the wristband off and puts the watch on, and they're over like, well, now it's time to die.
That's it.
I felt that worked in the way that it did feel more realistic. But I do think at the end, that when Michael Keaton pulls the gun and he's found, that did feel very forced.
Yeah.
I feel that may have been, I don't know.
It wasn't true to what his character had been.
Yeah, yeah,
he's
exactly.
Just like at the end, he's pretty much like, I'm evil, I'm a bad guy, yeah, yeah. I'm going to shoot your family.
That's the Obadiah Stane
syndrome
where he just becomes insane at the end with power.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I put this robot suit on. I guess I'll kill everyone in the world.
That's
work.
It.
But yeah, I think that might have been studio interference.
Yeah, probably. Maybe. Yeah.
They're like, well, we've got to have, at the end, we have to have a bad guy standing and a good guy standing.
Yeah.
And the good
has to be on top of a building.
Yeah, exactly. And the bad guy has to have the advantage, but then, you know.
Robocop.
Yeah. Sick. I think also in the 80s, the kid would have run over and grabbed his wristband off.
You're probably right. Yeah. That's it.
Uh-huh.
The 80s were great.
Yeah, no,
not really.
No.
I told, I was just saying how I told you I watched Robocop 2 just last night, actually.
Uh-huh.
It's all right.
Yeah, it's not bad.
The reason I watched it, you said it was good, but then I saw a Red Letter Media review, and I like,
I don't know if I said it was good.
You said, it was worth a watch, yeah. But then I didn't believe you, and then I saw Red Letter Media, and then I went, I will watch it.
Yeah.
It's all right. There are bits in it which are really good, but yeah.
Yeah.
You could check that out, mate.
Yeah. I also enjoyed that Robocop was manufactured in China.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
As far as Satan goes, I think that's quite subtle, but I think it was that, you know, everything is made in China now. So.
That was cool how he burst outside and he was in the fields or whatever. I liked as well, it showed like the psychology of what this kind of would do to a man. You take somebody and you strip basically everything away from him and what that would do to a person.
Yeah.
I like the way he handled that and,
You
know, that would obviously be taxing on, on a person.
Yeah.
Anything else we want to say good about this movie, Mason?
Let's talk action. I like the action.
I like some of the action.
You like some of it, not
I
all
thought
of it.
That were, no, the action was good, but I thought it was too few and far between.
Okay, yeah.
I liked the bit where he goes into the building at the end. He's on the ground floor, and he's fighting all the
Ed-209s. That was good, yeah.
I liked the bit where he fights all the drones.
Yep.
That was really, really
you
cool.
Didn't, so you, the one you've missed out on is where he fights all the bad guys in the warehouse.
Yeah, also, I like that as well.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I thought the action was quite chaotic.
Okay.
But it wasn't chaotic like we don't know what's going on.
Like a Bourne film?
Like a Bourne film, exactly, yeah. I thought, like, it's deliberately chaotic, like this might be what it's like in an actual, like, combat situation. But again, there's no, like, the guy that set up the bomb that killed him, he doesn't, again, he doesn't die in an ironic manner.
No.
Like, he just kind of, he dies in, like, in black and white, more or less.
Yeah.
Because Robocop has the thermograph on, and you just sort of kill some people in the dark, and one of them's him.
Yeah.
And then he's dead, and he's like, oh, I got him.
Yeah.
Cool.
That was kind of like how I felt Haley Joel Osment's character died.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Like, it wasn't... No, he's...
Yeah, Lewis just killed him.
Just shot him.
Yeah,
and that was kind of it. I was like, eh.
Yeah.
I found the movie kind of very anticlimactic at the end.
Right, yeah. To be honest. You're probably right.
It kind of... I felt it kind of too long on kind of exploring him as a man and what it means to be human and whatever.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was a bit too drawn out.
Yeah.
And then it kind of picked up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked all that, but I did like it, but I thought it was a bit too long. And then it picked up a bit, but then it kind of just stopped.
Yeah.
And then it went
right.
Robocop.
Right.
And then it had, I thought the Law and the Law one in the.
I didn't like that
Clash.
As a final.
I love that song.
Do you really?
Maybe I just
like
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Doesn't really make sense.
No, it doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's the main character.
He's the main
if
character.
If he'd gone to jail somehow,
then he would have fought the Law and the Law.
Let me. What else can we talk about? Kind of a nitpick.
Sure.
Why does he never run out of bullets?
Okay, yeah. Well, I know he doesn't really in the original one much.
He realized once.
I realized once.
He realized once in Robocop 1, and I think that's it. When he's fighting Clarence Boddicka and all those guys at the end. He realized once.
Cool.
And then that's it.
That's it, yeah. Look, did you miss the gore?
I didn't miss the gore. I missed the gun. I wish he had the classic.
Yeah. I had a problem with the stun gun.
I guess.
I mean, I know he did use a real gun at that bit you're talking about where he fights him in the dark.
Yeah.
That was a real machine gun or whatever. But the stun gun thing, even though he's like, if I shoot you with this, it could stop your heart, it'll give you
a
internal
burst. But it is a real gun. Like, it has a kill mode.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
But I think that the idea that it's a stun gun gets in your head.
Yeah,
and you're like, why is his primary sidearm
a stun gun?
A stun gun, yeah, exactly, yeah.
I like the bit where he shoots the cop with it in the...
Yeah, that was fun. That was great.
Yeah. That was a bit where I really noticed he's got a good Robocop walk. You know, he just walks out and he just puts his gun to the side and just shoots that guy in the chest.
That was fun, yeah.
Yeah. Did you think it was weird how it kind of, he had his humanity and then all of a sudden lost it and then he didn't have it for 5 minutes.
And then he regained it somehow?
Yeah.
That was a little odd, yeah.
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 I don't know, should that have happened from the start?
I feel there should have been like a secondary character, like a secondary scientist character who had a hand in that.
Okay,
Who brought it, who felt some pangs of conscience. Conscious. And who suddenly brought it back up, and then he was free to be himself again. And then maybe the controller chip was removed.
Because the only thing was, it's like, he's overriding his programs.
Yeah.
But it didn't really explain how.
Yeah.
Because the reason he was like that, weren't they like pumping him full of a certain drug or whatever that was kind of dulling his human side or whatever.
Yeah,
it's like, it's leveling out. It's not working anymore.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Also, the end bit with Michael Keaton, we talked about this.
Yes.
Where he's like, you can't shoot me, Robocop. But then he just does.
Yeah.
He's just like, I can shoot you. And he shoots him dead.
Yeah, yeah.
So he overrode his thing. And then that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But at the same time, I don't know. I guess.
Like, nothing happened for it to, you didn't see anything click in him.
Right, yeah. I don't know. I guess there was enough of a biological, you know, brain to.
Yeah.
To override mechanical that. Connection to, for it to Fair work point. On its own. Like.
But like in the 80s, you're like, right. Cause there's a bit where it's like, you're fired. And then he can shoot him or whatever. Uh-huh. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm. Okay, fair point, Mason.
Yeah, it's a fair point. So, I think it's still. I'm willing to suspend disbelief to say that he is enough. There's enough of a man left in him, biologically, to control that.
Okay,
know?
Fair enough.
Because you know, if there's no, you know, if somebody has like a prosthetic arm or whatever, there's not necessarily programming in that to prevent to make them use it. It's just, you know, electrical signals and muscle memory that move it. So I'm willing to say, well, maybe there was. He can produce enough of a human electrical signal to move the arm and pull the trigger, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair point.
Because, yeah, hand's still human.
So, sure.
Yeah.
Well, just the hand.
Mm.
How did that work?
I don't know.
Science.
Yeah.
Did you think Detroit looked pretty good?
It looked pretty nice for Detroit, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was not...
Wasn't riddled with... There wasn't really any sense that it was riddled with crime.
Yeah, exactly. And there was
there was a gang lord guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I kind of pictured... The entire city is graffitied.
Yeah.
Like, literally every building was covered in graffiti. Yeah. I think they would have...
I mean, I guess
they bombed out.
Yeah. But I guess, like, Detroit isn't actually like that.
Well,
which is probably why they... Made... That's true. From what we've seen on the televisions.
Mm.
Yeah. But it's also... It's not... That movie's set in, like, 2028. It's not that far from now, is it?
Yeah, true.
14 years from now. Do you think we'll have robot cops?
Well, that's a big question to
sure
ask.
Sure is, Mason.
I think we'll have drones. I definitely think we'll have, like, surveillance drones at the very least.
Yeah. Well, we do now, don't we?
We don't.
Not us, personally.
I don't think the US has surveillance drones.
Don't they have drones?
No, I don't think there's been like...
Fly drones, I'm talking about.
Well, they have drones, but they don't have them for like police.
No.
I think they'd need like FAA clearance and stuff like that for non-privately owned, like non-hobby drones, I think.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen the show. You've seen Almost, you haven't seen Almost
I haven't,
Human.
I've got it, but I haven't. Yeah.
Well, it's very almost. So I thought it's more like an episode of Almost Human than it is Robocop. Not that that's a bad thing,
right,
but that's
right.
A good show. Because that show deals a lot of... What does it mean to be human? Blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
So I think it works better as a companion piece to that than as a Robocop.
Cop sequel, okay. Yeah. Or reboot,
yeah.
We haven't talked about Samuel L. Jackson yet.
Oh, right, yeah, okay. How quickly do you reckon he filmed those scenes?
10 minutes? But he had to change outfits.
He probably,
great
yeah.
suits, I thought.
Yeah, sure,
fantastic
yeah.
suits.
You notice these things.
Boy,
never
do
noticed.
I
never noticed, yeah.
Nice window pane.
Sure.
Nice chalk stripe. Mm. Talk about it all day. But I thought it was great. I thought, first couple of times... Oh, there he is, Samuel L. Jackson. That's hilarious. Like, towards the middle, I'm like, this is grating a little bit.
Okay,
and then
yeah.
when he lost his mind at the end, I was back.
That was
forth.
Good,
yeah. Yeah,
yeah. They bleeped out the swear word.
Mm, yeah.
They probably couldn't, that was, you know, I think I said in PG-13, you can get away with one fuck.
Who had it, do you remember?
I don't think anybody did. I think they must have used it up somewhere else in another bit.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
when he was a sack of organs or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
But hey.
Yeah, I thought maybe the Samuel L. Jackson stuff was a little bit heavy-handed.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it wasn't...
It was supposed to be like a Bill O'Reilly kind
of
thing,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, but I guess I don't really watch any Bill O'Reilly, so I don't know. That might be dead on as far as, like, blatantly obvious, cut the guy who doesn't agree with you.
Yeah, he does do a lot of that.
Oh, okay, then
yeah.
I guess that's quite accurate then, yeah.
Yeah, not that I... Most of the stuff that I've seen of Bill O'Reilly is people...
Making a valid point, and then him screaming at
Yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah, where he looks like a lunatic, or somebody, yeah, or he cuts somebody off.
Right, right,
There's
okay.
a lot of that. I mean, I don't want to get into it, but he seems like a massive dickhead.
Right, right, right.
And I hope he dies.
Yeah, because that's his spirit. But yeah, again, this guy, maybe he's a good, maybe you feel he's a good guy or a bad guy or whatever, but he does, he feels like a character, even though he's a satire, he feels like a character who has some real motivation.
Yeah.
Like he wants safe streets.
That's right,
he
yeah.
He wants, you know.
He believes the things that he's saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I do wonder about Bill O'Reilly, I hate to bring it back.
Right.
You can't be that intelligent and say things like that.
Yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
guess you can. Takes all types, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He used to be like an entertainment reporter as
right,
well.
Right, okay.
I don't understand, I'm not going to, sorry.
Let's not get into it, no, please don't.
You know what though, I don't think it's not doing super well this weekend.
Okay, right.
We're recording this, on Sunday, so the official numbers aren't in yet.
Right.
But it's not doing super well, so it could very well Dread. Speaking of, I think Dread is a better Robocop movie than
Robocop.
Than Robocop.
The new Robocop.
The new,
interesting.
Go with the helmet. guns.
Yep,
heaps violence.
Of guns, yep, explosions. Gets shot in the chest. He gets shot through the stomach and it doesn't bother him that much. I'd say they're on par. I enjoyed them both. Equally.
Really?
Yeah.
I see. I thought Dread was a much better film.
Okay.
I was...
In terms of what, action or...
In terms of everything.
Okay.
Yeah, action, I guess. I think it does more with what it... With the budget it's got. And not that I disliked Robocop. I didn't by any stretch, but I think it's... If anything, and I know we don't give this rating, to me, it was just okay.
Well, that's not what we do here, is it? You know that. You know that better than anyone. Wow.
That I'd have to say, even though I did enjoy a lot of it, I have to say worst movie ever.
Huh. I'm going to go with best movie ever. That's right.
That's a real conflict.
The room is divided.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, I did not
But
hate
again,
it.
We did see it for free. So.
Well, I did it.
You did it, yeah.
I gave you the tickets.
Yep.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah.
That's all right. One last question.
Yes.
We talked about the new suit.
Uh-huh.
Do you prefer, you know, at the end he reverts back to the silver suit?
Uh-huh.
Do you prefer the silver suit or the black suit?
Well, he started as a blue suit. He starts as the Robocop 2, it's got a blue tint to it.
No, I'm talking about the start of the new movie.
It's blue, and when he's first Robocoped, it's blue.
Oh, really?
It's a very light blue tint.
Yeah, okay.
And then it's black, and then he goes to silver at the end, which I preferred.
You notice everything.
Yeah, I think it looked really good.
Cool, okay.
The black, a little too military-esque.
Yeah.
Classically, Robocop is silver, and I like the...
Yeah. I mean, the black works for
I kind of hoped at the end he would get a civilian mode.
Okay.
I think that it was too much to ask
like
for.
Like a t-shirt?
Yeah, like a t-shirt, yeah. Like, no, but like just like in a rig, like a, I don't know, it's a regular outfit, like kind of humanoid looking. Like human,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay,
too much to ask, but I, you know, that's all right.
That's not a bad idea.
Silver one was good.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah.
Mm. It's kind of also sad at the end where he doesn't.
We don't see any interaction with his family?
No, that's it. I mean, he's stuck. He's essentially trapped as this thing.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Which
he
doesn't particularly like being.
Right.
He does it because he's got a sense of duty, but he doesn't like who he is so much.
But then he got to hang out with his wife and kid again. So
he sure did.
Yeah. What do you think of the kid? Annoying or not annoying?
Not enough for me to make an opinion.
Yeah, fair enough.
I thought he was okay.
Abby Cornish. Annoying or not annoying? No, she was good.
She was fine, yeah. Yeah. Great Australian actor.
Mm.
Riss.
For now. You just wait, Cornish.
We'll turn on you.
Yeah.
Like we turn on everyone. I think that's about... Was there anything else we want to say about Robocop? Chances are there probably won't be another one, I'd say. As much as I'd like to see another one.
Yeah.
I'd love to see a Terminator Robocop crossover.
That would never ever happen. It could never happen. Especially, they could do it with the 80s one. New version, no chance.
Yeah, you're
not
right.
No chance in the world.
Yeah. Get Peter Weller back?
No, not a chance in the world.
Couldn't get him in that suit.
No.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah, totally worth a watch.
Yeah, I agree. Completely worth a watch.
Yeah.
See it at the cinemas or wait. But you say see it at the cinemas.
I say see it at the cinemas, yes.
All right, cool.
If you want a sequel.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, see it at the cinema.
I would much rather see a sequel to Dread than I would this.
Well, that's never going to happen, is it?
No.
Just fan films at this point. Oh, talk about that fan film that you saw, the Robocop.
Oh, okay, yeah. So basically, I showed Mason this just before we podcasted. There was a fan film called Our Robocop Remake, where 55 different filmmakers went and remade Robocop scene for scene. They each did a scene each. Some are animated, some is just Robocop in like a tinfoil hat, and it's some comedians and stuff that are well known, some not so well known. But there's one scene in particular. It's scene 27. If you look up Our Robocop Remake.
And the producer is Fatal Farm.
Fatal Farm.
Which I guess is some sort of special effects house or production team.
It's the scene where Robocop shoots a guy's balls through
He shoots a potential
dress.
Rapist through the balls. Yeah, everybody remembers that scene.
They know the scene. And it looks like a Robocop film. Like a lot of them.
I thought for a second that it was. Like, I'm like, what are they going to do with this that is different? Because it's clearly just that.
Yeah.
It looks like the actual scene.
And the suit's dead on and the lighting and the scene and whatever, whatever. But it's basically...
Don't spoil it.
Okay. It's not for the faint of heart. Let's put it that way.
Hell,
It's quite off-putting at parts.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's pretty fucking funny.
Check that out on YouTube.
If you're young, maybe don't watch it.
Yeah. Our 14-year-old listener.
Yeah.
Now watch it. Who's going to stop you, hey? Yeah.
Not us.
Not us.
Yeah. So there you go. Check that out. Mason,
we were
talking about adding a new segment. It's called, I put it here, What We Gonna Read, What We Reading.
You've written that on crayon.
I sure have.
On your iPad, which
is
weird.
I know, right? It's basically where I thought we could briefly talk about during an episode something that we're reading or something that we're planning to read.
Maybe at the end of the episode.
Sure.
Is this the end of the episode?
It's close enough.
Ooh. Oh, you know what? Read or we could watch.
What's yeah, it's show? Anything. It's anything yeah. that we're into.
This is so vague, but I love it. I love how vague it is. Well, I'm about to read, because I've heard really good things about, Sex Criminals.
Okay.
Which is...
This is a gang of your mates you hang
yeah,
out with.
That's right, yeah. We're all starting a club. And, no, it's a Matt Fraction series.
Okay.
It's ongoing. It's started, I think, in September or October or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's basically a man and a woman meet. They, you know, they become a happy couple and they discover that when they have sex, they can stop time.
Ah.
And they use it to get up to some shenanigans, but then you know they gotta use it for good or evil. Who's to say? But yeah, people have recommended that for me. And
Sex Criminals.
Really Sex Criminals. Yeah,
I'll check it out.
Also, I have been reading. I don't know why it's a theme now, but there's an ongoing series. It's just called Sex. I don't know why this.
What is happening?
I don't
with
know.
You?
But anyway, the point is, it's basically a drama, but it's about a Batman-esque character. Who's done with crime fighting. He's retired from crime fighting and he's returned to the city where he did all his crime fighting. You know,
yeah.
He had to leave because of some sort of unspecified tragedy and he's returned. But now he's just trying to live a normal life. But he's incredibly sexually repressed because he spent his whole life as a superhero. He had to put a lot of things on hold and now he's like really...
Can he still superhero occasionally?
He hasn't so far, but I'm only a few issues in. But that's actually really good.
Is he
well,
like
so.
45, 50-ish?
Yeah, like 40s, in his 40s maybe.
Okay, so
yeah.
It sounds kind of like what sort of Owlman
yeah,
in
I guess
The Watchmen.
So, yeah, in Watchmen. Yeah, yeah.
Because he's
Night
impotent.
Owl.
Night Owl, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Owlman because we talked a lot about Owlman last week. Did you
yeah.
notice?
Yeah, I did notice
We also
that.
Spoke about briefly last week how Batman doesn't have a counterpart, which is like yeah. the evil Batman, which is true. The closest thing I can think of, though, but it's not from that universe, is Mark Millar's nemesis.
Right, evil Batman.
Yeah, he's basically evil Batman. Mm. Not from the same universe, they'll never meet, but essentially he has the resources and the mind of Batman.
Yeah.
But let's thought I'd bring that up briefly. Yeah. A lot of people don't like that comic. I think it's pretty good. It's not his best work.
I think it might be his best work.
It's his best work.
Yeah. See, there we go. What you read and done read and watch, man?
Well, I just read this. A few people recommended this to me. It's issues 40 and 41 of Adventures of Superman. You familiar with Max Landis?
Yes.
We talk about this all the time.
Director Max Landis.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he wrote some issues.
He wrote Chronicle and whatever.
Yeah.
And he did. He's got this amazing video, which I've talked about before, where he was going to... DC asked him to do a new Death of Superman arc.
Uh-huh.
As a standalone thing.
Right.
And then he did this whole thing. And he tells the whole story. You can see it online on his YouTube channel. I think it's called Up to My Knees or something like that. It's his YouTube channel. But anyway, he's been given this chance to write this couple of Superman comics. And it's issues 40 and 41. And all it is Superman and the Joker standing on top of a building in Metropolis. Joker's come to Metropolis.
Uh-huh.
And they're having it out, not physically, but with words. And it's basically deconstructing the psychology of each other. And it's just them trading insults about... It's a lot of, it's one of those ones where you can really see the voice of the writer in it.
Uh-huh.
Possibly to its detriment.
Yeah.
At times. But it's really interesting the way that the things that they say to each other are the things that the general public sometimes says about those particular characters. Like Superman is, what's his deal? He's got no edge to him and whatever.
The
Joker's this specific kind of lunatic, but he has no, I don't know, he's not anything, he's a shell of a man and whatever.
Right.
He's just looking for attention and
uh-huh.
and whatever. It's literally them standing on top of a building
uh-huh.
for two issues.
Yeah.
But it's definitely worth a read if you're interested in those kind of stories.
Talking about Superman standing on top of a building stories, I've just thought of this one. Did you ever read Hitman?
Which was that?
It was from the mid-90s. Oh, no, late 90s.
Oh, yeah, I saw the movie.
No, wrong. I really wish they would do a movie adaptation, but they're going to have to change the name,
yeah.
obviously.
They could call it Avatar The Last Airbender.
That'd work. But Hitman was about this guy Tommy Monaghan, who was a hitman.
Uh-huh.
And he's bitten by a giant space bug and he gains x-ray vision and telepathy.
Cool.
Because that was the 90s. And
sure was.
Basically he remains a hitman with a heart of gold, but now he just goes after like super criminals and stuff like that.
Cool.
And it was a really good series by Garth Ennis. Who also did Preacher and
a lot of other
really great
Preacher
stuff.
TV series coming. Do you remember
there we
that?
Go. Yeah, I did. Yeah. Mm. Okay. But anyway, that's a really good series. I think if people haven't gone back to the 90s and early 2000s to read some of that stuff, you should get into it. But issue 34,
mm-hmm.
and I don't normally remember the issue numbers of anything, but issue 34, I think it won the Eisner Award.
Okay.
And it's called Of the Icing, and basically Tommy is hanging out in Gotham City where he lives, just on a rooftop. And he runs into Superman, who's also on a rooftop.
Mm-hmm.
And Superman's come down to Earth because he's just had a traumatic experience. And they just, and that he's not sure what to talk, you know, he's not sure what to think about anymore.
Yeah.
And they just have a conversation on a rooftop. and it's really, really great.
All right.
Hitman 34. So
Hitman 34.
Adventures of Superman 40 and 41, Hitman 34. Get it done. Yeah.
And also that other thing you said at the start.
Sex criminals.
Sex criminals and sex.
And just sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just get sex, guys. It's great.
Happy Valentine's
Day. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
All right, Mason, we did a shout-out last week.
Yes.
We got a lot of requests for shout-outs this week.
Love us.
Possibly too many.
No,
but I'm gonna
never
go
too
through
many.
Them. I'm going to go through them. First of all, remember I said shout-out Courtney Heck last week?
Yes.
And I said, great guy, thanks for emailing in.
Yes.
For some reason, I assumed, and I don't know why he didn't stop me, that he was a guy.
Yeah, I wondered that as well. A, you're an idiot. I assumed you would have checked that. You didn't check the profile picture or anything like
no
that?
No profile picture.
Ah, oh, well.
But there was nothing to indicate unless she did, and I missed it.
Yeah.
Because I can't read, as we've established.
We know that, yeah.
But, yeah, so I apologize for that. And all, she showed all her friends, and they all went, they all said to her, ah, you're a nerd or whatever. But I say, all your friends are dickheads.
There we
and
go. I... Get new friends. That's right. See, you know, there are guys named Courtney.
I know. That's,
Courtney Vance from Law and Order.
Bryce Courtney, the writer.
Not a thing.
What do you mean he's not a thing?
No, I continue.
He is, but his last name's Courtney, not first name.
Yeah.
So yeah, I apologise, Courtney, for that. But you got two shout-outs out of it.
Haha, you nerd.
Okay, Trey White is a young guy, teenage
don't
dude.
Don't make that assumption. You don't know.
He did, he gave his
age.
Okay,
that's alright.
But he said he's having a bit of a rough time with his family at the moment.
Come on.
So, like, I'm not sure what the specific thing is, but I hope, you know, he gets through it.
He'll get through that, that's going to be great, yeah.
He's also starting his own podcast, so good luck on that. Any advice for starting a podcast?
Get somebody who knows what they're doing to just ask you to be on it. And then just show up unprepared every week. I believe in you. If I can do it, you can do it. Because I'm an idiot.
Yeah. God, we're good at this, aren't we?
Yeah, so good.
Yeah. My advice would be, you just got to start it.
Yeah.
Because we talked about this for like 5-6 years.
Right, yeah.
And we didn't do it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it helps for us because we've got the platform at Comic Book Movie or whatever.
Mm, yeah.
But start a YouTube channel, get a Twitter, get everybody you know to listen to it, to pass around or whatever. That would be my advice.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, if your family get in your way, just murder them.
That's what you did. In the
That's what
out.
I did. No, I hope things work out for you, Trey.
Yes.
Thank you for emailing. Jack Sheehan. I believe Jack Sheehan's from Ireland. He's having lip surgery this week. Not this week. I think it's coming up. I think he said the 21st. Can't remember. But it's coming up, and I wish him best of luck. It's only minor surgery, but sometimes these things go bad, Mason.
Don't say that. Wow.
No, it'll be fine.
Sometimes you go in for minor lip surgery, you wake up, you're just a head and a hand. When you wake up. How did that happen?
That's it.
Anyway, when you get out of lip surgery, a good way they tell us to recover from that, start a podcast. Get somebody who knows what they're doing to ask you to be on a podcast, and then you're set.
Next up, we have Aaron Mitten, who's written into the show before. He's contacted us before, I believe.
Which is good, because he's just a mitten.
And it's hard to type if you're a mitten.
He's just a mitten.
No fingers.
No fingers.
Yeah.
Just flopping around.
He's having his third baby.
Wow, he's congratulations. Just
I know, right?
Yeah.
His parents don't even know, and he told us first.
Yeah.
Good
there
for
we
us.
Go.
Yeah. So he said that they'll never listen to the show, so they won't know, which is true. But I say, make them listen.
And call your first child Mason Sunday.
Well, that's funny that you should say that, because he said name suggestions. He said James Mason.
Oh.
But yeah, or okay. Mason James.
Yeah.
What do you think?
James Remember? Mason works.
James Mason,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
What about Ace Shootgun?
Oh, Ace Shootgun would work, yeah. How about Kal-El Cage?
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Patrick Thompson,
mm-hmm.
He starts uni on the 3rd of March, and he wants a shout-out to say good luck.
Good luck, mate. It's
gonna be great. I mean, coming from two people who are, we're very well-educated.
Mm-hmm.
We're both a university gentleman, aren't
Correct,
we?
Correct, yes.
It's the easiest time of your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just sleep in, do the work that you have to. Do that. Do
yeah.
all that.
Yeah.
Don't get kicked out, though.
Don't get kicked out. Don't get anyone pregnant.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to have three kids, in which case, congratulations!
Chris Finn and his girlfriend Nicole want us to label them best a couple ever. Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah.
All right there. Done.
Know nothing about them. Yeah. I love it. Good on them.
He forces his girlfriend to listen to the show.
If you could tell us what specifically she doesn't like in pop culture. And we can just talk about that.
That's right, yeah.
Next week will be great. Yeah.
We'll read up on it, and then we'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
He's having the worst winter. He says it's winter in Boston at the moment. He's calling it the worst winter ever. So I feel for him, only because it's really hot here.
We had 4 days of really hot weather over here.
It's been
it was
so
uncomfortable.
Hot. Yeah. Great weather today, though.
Yeah.
It's just right, isn't it?
Just right.
Yeah. And
good luck with your snowplows.
Absolutely.
And your shovels. And you're salting the your driveway. That's something people do in cold weather,
it
right?
It probably is.
The salt in the driveway, yeah.
I think I've seen snow twice. Twice in Australia.
Uh-huh.
I've seen it a couple times overseas. Did you know I climbed Kilimanjaro, Mason? Did
That's
you know
a
that?
Lie.
I have!
No.
You know That's, I did!
It's a really high mountain. You couldn't have done that.
Fuck you.
Ha!
I have.
Anyway.
It's shit, by the way. Don't do it. It takes forever.
Yeah.
That's alright. Well, that's the podcast for this week, Mason. Remember, harass Benjamin McKenzie.
Absolutely.
Hashtag
McKenzie mustache.
Yes. Ask him if he's going to have a mustache at Mr. Sunday Movies Me into it.
Mm.
If you could. Or rate us on iTunes or do both. But the priority is
McKenzie mustache.
Hashtag that. Mm. Where can they find you, Mason, on
they
Twitter?
They can find me on Twitter at Wikipedia Brown.
Find him there.
Yeah, please do.
Find him in real life.
One day I'll tweet a thing that isn't just at somebody.
There's a guy, and I can't remember who it is, but he still wants to reply to when he wrote to you, Robot Cop. I saw a comment when he goes, why wouldn't he say anything back?
Oh, okay, I'll say something back.
Say something back to that guy.
Okay.
Because he's hanging out.
Okay, cool.
You can find me at Mr. Sunday Movies, I said that. You can also find us at Weekly Planet Pod on Twitter, Facebook, and Gmail. Send us an email. Send us some ideas. We're getting some good show ideas this week, Mason.
Love it.
We got one coming up next week, though, don't we?
Do we?
A show, yes. Another one.
Oh, we do have a show, yes. It's the definition of the show.
What do you want to talk about next week? What you reading?
Yeah, what I reading.
We could do. A few people sent this to me. I can't remember who exactly. I can bring it up in a second. Here we go. Jack Sheehan. I've got a list here. When people send me an idea,
uh-huh.
If they're the first person to do it, I write down the idea and their name.
Ooh.
So I can credit them. Jack Sheehan.
You send them out of metal?
Yes.
Good.
We could do a few of these, but Jack Sheehan said comics we'd like to see adapted into movies.
Okay, yeah.
We could probably do that maybe next week.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we're going to talk Guardians of the Galaxy, aren't we?
Absolutely. Try this
maybe I could Guardians of the Galaxy research, or we could research together, go to the library, and we could talk about that next week because we've got the trailer coming out.
I'll see what I can do, but I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be a wealth of... Because there's some stuff from the 70s, stuff from the 90s.
Sure, and the recent edition
stuff.
Yeah,
I guess. But
the
some of that early stuff's going to be a tough read.
Yeah, well, I mean...
There's a character in 90s Guardian of the Galaxy called Taserface.
Is it what?
He's a villain.
Is it what he...
No, he doesn't have a taser in his face. No, that's just his name. I don't know what the deal is there.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
I think the writer's kid named him or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Comics are fun.
Anyway, tough read. We'll see what we do next week.
See what we do.
It'll be a surprise.
It sure will. Thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful week.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.